Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
International attention has been on Gaza once again after a flotilla of activists attempting to deliver aid was intercepted in international waters by Israeli forces, with hundreds detained and later deported via Turkey. Several of the Irish participants have now returned home, and some have spoken about what they described as violent and degrading treatment while in custody. One of those involved in the flotilla was Dublin poet and musician, and indeed teacher, Mikey Cullen, and he joins me now. Mikey, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Last time you were in the studio, you were performing for me.
I was.
You were doing poetry, which was fantastic. Mm. And you were combining that with a life in teaching.
Yes.
Okay. How are both going?
Both are going, going very well. The last year I've been making a living more from my artistry than the teaching. I was doing a little bit of homeschool teaching with one student, and I was able to get him sorted to embark on the flotilla. So yeah. I was in a good position that I didn't have to leave too many duties or responsibilities behind to have the 2 months to go and do the mission.
So why did you go?
I went. Like, it could be a very long-winded answer, but really, for me, I just felt like I needed to do more. I've studied history all my life. I studied it at an undergrad level, and I teach it in secondary schools. And I think having a knowledge of history informs one that when it is occurring in front of you, you can see the patterns and the signs, and I feel it's a duty that we do take a responsibility in the shaping of our society and our world. I just felt impelled to do more for the Palestinians, but also for us as Irish people as well, you know.
Now, you knew what the end would be, I presume, even as you embarked on the voyage.
No, not necessarily. Like, the onus and the responsibility isn't on, oh, well, what did you expect? Israel had no right to stop us.
But you knew they probably would.
Well, that's still, the blame is still with them rather than us. They have no right to blockade Gaza for the last 18 years. They had no right to attack us, kidnap us and torture us off the coast of Greece. And neither did they have the right, if we were on the beach in Gaza, to stop us. Nor did they have the right to genocide Palestine, ethnically cleanse Palestine, or anything they've done.
They don't have the right, but they do it with impunity.
Yeah, because the cowardice and moral failure of world leaders, including the Irish government. Mm.
Now, tell me about the moments coming up to the boarding of your vessel. What happened?
They opened fire on my ship. We were the first ship that they opened fire on. It wasn't scary at the time. Looking back, it definitely is. It happened so quickly, they didn't tell us to stop. They just pulled up alongside the boat and unloaded a magazine. At the time, we didn't know, was it live bullets or were they rubber bullets? It has turned out to be rubber bullets, but we didn't know. And, you know, before we actually left Turkey, our last port, before going to Gaza, there was real talk of the possibility of fatalities because Israel, within their own media and propaganda, were manufacturing consent for violence against us. So when they opened fire, in my head, I did think, oh, okay, it's our boat who are going to be murdered by this.
Now, in the event you were taken captive.
Kidnapped, yeah.
Yeah, and then what happened?
They brought us to a prison ship. When we arrived onto the prison ship, we ran this gauntlet where they bed everyone up. They were hitting us. We were cable tied at this point from when the Israelis, the IOF, were on my sailboats. We were cable tied. They manhandled us with our head down the hallway in. They put me on this kind of like cattle rack type of thing and get down, bet me on top of the head, stand back up, pulled me by my head, get down, just to a welcome to the prison ship type of thing for them, I suppose, just to degrade you. Again, you're being manhandled as you're going. People are just hitting you slaps as you're going by them. And then they threw us into these containers and we were there for the night. We no blankets out in the middle of the sea. Again, this is all in international waters as well. And my prison ship was nothing in comparison to the other one that the people who were intercepted on the first day were put onto, including a lot of the Irish people. They were, their containers that they were kept in were raided 8 times by the Israelis. They came in, threw flash grenades at them, shot at them, pulled people out. They raped a number of women and they injected a number of my comrades with, we still don't know what they were injected with. Some people passed out and they woke up however long later in rooms by themselves. This is young women with soldiers standing over them. They don't know what's happened to them. And this is all before we arrived to Ashdod, occupied Palestine.
Now, when you arrived in Ashdod, what happened there? Was there any kind of judicial process?
Like a kangaroo court, I guess, you know. But no, when we arrived to Ashdod again, we were manhandled off the boat. Welcome to Israel. We were beaten up. The moment that we stepped onto the port, they picked me up on my cable ties and my legs were dangling off the ground. Two huge soldiers, and pulled all of us into this little small tent where they hit us a few slaps. And again, they were very careful. Out of 500 or so of us, I'd say only about 20 people have visible injuries. Mm-hmm. Most people were hit on the top of the head or into the side of the ribs, and that's why there's a number of broken ribs as well as everything else. Then we were put into that larger tent where we seen Ben-Gavir parading around. While he was parading around, we had our face down on our knees with our arms behind our heads or some behind our back in stress positions. I was in that position myself for about 3 hours, I think. There was people around me passing out, fainting. One girl had an epileptic fit. Anytime anyone called for a medic, or there was people losing feeling in their hand because of the cable ties, anytime anyone put their head up or spoke out, we were bet because we spoke out. A girl in front of me was getting beaten up by 3 Israeli soldiers as well. And again, I've said this yesterday, it wasn't the scariest part, wasn't the actual physical violence or the psychological torture. It was how much 95% of the IOF seemed to relish in the violence that they were inflicting. Mm. They enjoyed it.
Now, you had this kangaroo court and then you were dispatched. I mean, the nature of that process, were you just shipped off?
We were brought out of that tent into the port terminal. And again, everything was done in stages to psychologically scare us that you don't know what's coming next. Mm. We were strip searched about 4 times. We were paraded around again like cattle. And their arrogance, that was the attitude, that we were just less than them. You know, they're on their phone, they're laughing at us, they're slagging us while we're being paraded around. They're taking pictures of us while we're getting strip searched, all sorts, just trying to degrade us. But they didn't degrade any of us, they degraded themselves. You know, they tried to strip us of humanity, but it's them who is lacking in humanity totally. They brought us before, again, a lot of people were denied access to legal representation, and they didn't make it clear who we were talking to. We went through about 5 rounds of bureaucracy, but it wasn't made clear, this is the court officials, yeah, this is the customs. It was all just, oh, you came, why you come to Israel? Why you come to Israel? All this crap. So, like, look.
Anyway, you were dispatched home.
We were taken to prison after that.
Oh, to prison after that.
After the terminal, we were taken to prison, yes.
And then?
The next morning, we were put on a prison bus. Again, the degrading treatment, the humiliation, the violence, psychologically, physically and sexually, and the torture continued in prison. And when we say torture, we are careful about using that term, but it was even stress positions alone are torture. Mm-hmm. But to systematically rape 15 people so far, that's confirmed, one including being penetrated with a gun, is tantamount to torture, as well as the violence. No one escaped unharmed. We were all beaten up.
There's no doubt the Israelis will deny many of these accusations.
Of course, Jack the Ripper would deny things. He don't, you know, like, it doesn't matter what they say at this stage. They've been proven time and time again to lie. At the start of the genocide in Gaza, they bombed the hospital. They said that they didn't bomb the hospital. There's no more hospitals left in Gaza. Who cares what they say anymore?
All right, what's next for you? I mean, you got home intact, but any injuries?
I have a light concussion, but I escaped relatively unharmed in comparison to a lot of my friends and comrades, and that doesn't give me any relief to say either. There's a sense of guilt about that.
All right, what will you do next?
Continue to struggle, continue to fight and keep the pressure on the Irish government, their disgrace. While we were being tortured, they were aiding our torturers by voting against sanctioning Israel.
Now, you know that the Israelis will say this is all just, you're dupes of Hamas, you're actually helping them in your efforts. What do you say to those charges?
I don't know anyone in Hamas. Like, who, again, Pat, like, frankly, who cares what the Israelis say anymore? Like, at this stage, we shouldn't. I respect you, but I find it insulting that the journalists keep saying, oh, well, Israel would say this, Israel would say this. Mm. We don't do that for convicted murderers. They have, Benjamin Netanyahu and other senior officials have been charged with genocide. Why do we repeat what they say anymore?
Good point. Mikey, thank you very much for joining us, and we will follow both your artistic and your political career with some interest going forward.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.